Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Title of tonight's message, if you got a handout, it has one word in there, but it should state this: the importance of the right foundation. The importance of the right. I have on the handout a foundation, a right. This one is definite. All right? The importance of the right foundation. It will not hurt my feelings if you cross that A out on your handout. All right? The importance of the right foundation. And we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 27 tonight of Matthew chapter 7. And this is probably a passage you're very, very familiar with. Before I read it, allow me to set a little context here so that we understand where we are in the book of Matthew. Our Lord and Savior is concluding that wonderful sermon, I would say the best sermon ever preached by Him, okay? The Sermon on the Mount. If you were to read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, that's what we consider the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord is bringing that to an end. And we see, as we will enter these verses here in just a minute, if we were to look at verses 15 through 20, he's warning the people to beware of false prophets, to beware of those who say they know me, to beware of those who say they belong to God. And he's saying there's a way you can know. There's a way you can know if someone is a disciple of Christ. There's a way you can know if they truly are a child of God. And he goes on to say that you'll recognize them by their fruit. An apple tree bears, that's right. A pear tree bears pears. You will know them by their fruit. A particular tree bears a particular fruit. We're the same way. Christians ought to bear spiritual fruit. Non-Christians will not bear spiritual fruit. They may do some good things. There may be some evidence of some good works in their life, but they will not be spiritual. It will not be spiritual fruit. So he's coming off that. He's telling them how to identify these false prophets, those who claim to be children of God, those who are teaching false things. And in verse 21, let's read verses 21 through 23. He goes on to say, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Note that. Not because somebody says it, not because somebody confesses it, but what does it say? But the one who does the will of my Father. And I think Christ is implying there, the one who surrenders his life to me. What is the will of the Father? That sinners surrender their life to Christ Jesus, his Son. That's the will of the Father. Those who do the will. Verse 22, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" Those are some of the most sobering words in all of Scripture, I think. For those who claim to know Christ, and on the day of judgment, they will stand before Christ, and they will say, "Well, I did a lot of good things." And Christ will say what? "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So our Christ, he's bringing this Sermon on the Mount to the close by warning folks that acting righteous is not the same as being righteous, or being made righteous by the blood of Christ, or being declared righteous by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Me and you can act righteous all we want, But if we not been made righteous, declared righteous by God through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, if we have not repented of our sins, that is turned from our sinful way and turned toward God and confessed that we are sinners and turned from that sin and placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we will not enter the kingdom of God. We will not go to heaven. We will be one of these false prophets that did many mighty good things in his name. Yet he never knew us. A sobering, isn't it? And then he goes on, pick up at verse 24. He goes on to end the Sermon on the Mount in this way. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Because it had been founded or built or grounded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it." No matter what area of your life, the foundation you lay is important. No matter what area. Kids going to school. You need a good foundation, right? You will not start out at algebra. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? You must start where I am at, addition and subtraction. And I'm kind of iffy on that some days, all right? You have to start with a good foundation. In every area of your life. And it's no different here. So I want each person in our church to build upon the right foundation. And the right foundation is Christ. There are many foundations being offered in our day. Easy foundations. But the right foundation is Christ. And in this passage, there is a contrast I want us to see, a comparison I want us to see, and some results. First of all, note with me the comparison of two men. There's two men. Our Lord gives this parable, this story, if you will, about two men. We've already read it. One man he considers wise. One man he considers foolish. One man built one way. Another man built another way, right? There's a comparison of these two men. And when comparing these two men, we see that both had the same goal. In our text, both had the same goal. Both had the same goal of hearing and doing and building. Each were to hear the word of God and act upon the word of God. They had the same goal. Not only the same goal, though, they had the same instructions. They both heard the same words. They were given the same instructions. They were in the same class at the time of the instructions. All right, parents, you might can testify to this. You have a daughter or a son that comes home from school. They say the teacher did not give them any homework assignments or any instructions to take their test. Yet the other 29 children seem to have gotten the instructions that your son or daughter missed out on. How is that, right? I'll answer for you. You weren't paying attention, okay? The same instructions. These two men here. And ladies, I'm not being biased. Our Lord uses man. These two ladies, if you will, these two people, these two had the same instructions. They were in the same sanctuary listening to the same message. There was no difference in the instructions. Keep in mind, all these folks here on the side of that mount, as our Lord is delivering this wonderful sermon, they all heard the same words from the same messenger. Christ himself, right? They had the same goal, the same instructions, but they also had the same difficulties in this story, in this parable here. Both had the same difficulties, the exact same difficulties, the exact same storm hit both of them. It says right here in the text that what happened? The rain fell. We know about that lately, don't we? The rain fell. The floods came. We know about that. And in Scripture, when it talks about the floods came, a lot of times they built near these rivers. And when they built, the rivers would be low. And as these rains would come during the rainy season, they would happen quickly, and the rivers would, or the streams, they would rise quickly, right? That's the picture he's painting here. Okay? The floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house or beat against that house. Yet one stood and one fell. And we'll get to those results here in just a little bit. The comparison of these two men, they had the same goal, they had the same instructions, they had the same difficulties. One wasn't privileged over the other. They were at the same point. They were both sinners. Hearing the instructions of salvation from the Savior. And as we're going to see in just a little bit, one listened intently and obeyed. The other did not. So we see the comparison of these two men. But note also with me what I want you to see is the contrast of the two men. Each had a different character. Each had a different character. Here's the main difference. One is, what's on the inside matters. Character matters. And we're going to see that there was two different men, and each had two different characters. One was wise. That's what our Lord says. One of them was wise. One of them was a fool. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is not about how intelligent a person is. I know many intelligent men that could not get themselves out of a wet paper bag, all right? I know many intelligent men. Many, especially when I was working out on the air station, some of those engineers that were designing aircraft, I mean intelligent, but they could not tell you how to change the oil in a car or rotate a tire. Wisdom is not about how intelligent a person is. Wisdom is about applying or putting into action what you already know. Wisdom is about doing something with what God has given you. And one of them was wise. Do you get the picture? Our Lord's saying there's a wise man here because God had given him certain instructions. He had heard them and he obeyed them. He applied what he heard. He applied what he knew to be right. Wisdom. See, this man's wisdom is shown in the fact that he built his house right here. It says in verse 25, he built it on what? The rock. What is this rock that is being referenced here? It's Christ. It's God's word. That's what he built it upon. The wise man had something that the foolish man did not. The wise man had Christ and his word. He knew Christ and he knew his word and he built his life upon him. He did what he knew. That was the wise one. That's the first character we see. The second character we see with these men was a foolish one. One was foolish. Why is one wise and why is one foolish? It is not because one is smarter than the other and one is ignorant. That is not it. Remember, both of these men had what? They had the same goal and the same instructions, right? One heard and was a careful listener and the other a foolish and careless listener. One, maybe not necessarily an evil man, but a careless man. They heard the word of God, yet one obeyed and one disobeyed. One hears and acts upon it and the other heard and did nothing about it. He chose not to act, which is disobedience. Why did one have one character and the other have another character? I mean, you get, they're in the same crowd, right? They're in the same message, setting before the same Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christ says one is wise and one is foolish. Why? I think the Proverbs helps us out in this. If you would, just keep your place in Matthew and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is the beginning of knowledge? Now, I know, children, you haven't been to school in several weeks. So let's show these adults again. Let me ask it again. The fear of the Lord, or what is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord, right? All right, Proverbs chapter 9. Just flip over to the right a few pages. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You want to gain wisdom tonight? Have a reverence. Have a proper, have a healthy fear of the Lord. The wise man, I would submit to you, back in Matthew chapter 7, you can turn back to Matthew now. I submit to you that he had a proper fear of the Lord. That he understood who Jesus Christ was. That he understood that one day he will stand before Christ, a sinner. And either he will plead through Jesus Christ for his righteousness, or he will try to stand on his own righteousness and be condemned. I submit to you, the wise man, why did he have a character of wisdom? He feared the Lord. The foolish man did not. One feared the Lord, the other didn't. And folks, there is coming a day where we all will fear the Lord. There may be a man, there may be a woman here tonight that does not fear the Lord properly. I assure you, there is coming a day, the day of judgment, where you will display the proper fear of our Lord. Each had a different character. Not only a different character, though, each had a different starting point. If you will, turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Their starting point here was building the house, if you want to use that analogy, right? They each had a different starting point. Here's another difference, though, where they started. One started with sand, right? One built his house on the sand, it says in verse 26. You know, sand is easy to work with, isn't it? Sand's easy. I mean, kids work with sand, don't they? I mean, as an adult, I mean, if you're doing any kind of work, I mean, maybe putting in those stones, those pavers, you put down sand and you pack it in. Sand's easy to work with, isn't it? I can move sand around quickly and easily. I can make it look good quickly. Yet sand will not hold up, will it? I think of the beach, on our beaches, that have the sand dunes. Those sand dunes do a great job. But I tell you, if the wind and the waves, the water specifically, if it gets too high and too rough, what happens to those dunes? It washes away. And it doesn't seem to go back into the ocean. It seems to go back into all the houses on the beach, right? The sand gets washed away. It's moved easily, right? I think I've used the illustration before, but I'd like to use it again tonight. When I was younger, I was probably 8 or 9 years old at the time. I was riding bikes, big into bikes. Boys, you like bikes, right? And I can remember trying to be some kind of star riding this bike, and I wanted to jump. And we used to jump ditches, and we used to jump hills, and I made my own ramp, my own jumping ramp, launching pad, if you want to call it. And I stacked up these concrete blocks, and I needed to find me something, some kind of wood that I could use as the ramp. Well, it wasn't one of my finer moments. I did not use a thick 2x. I used about a 1/4-inch wide piece, or a thick piece of plywood. Small piece of plywood. Well, I don't weigh what I weigh now. But let's just say that I tried to go up that ramp that I had set up on that little thin piece of plywood, and about halfway up, it split. I rolled over, and I think I split on my bike, okay? The foundation wasn't right. It didn't last. See, I built it upon something that was shaky. It looked good at start, but it did not last. See, the world says you can build your life however you want to. The world says whatever seems best to you, whatever suits you, whatever is the easiest. The foundation the world pushes is sand. So that's the easiest to work with. Whatever feels right to you, that's what you can build your life on, right? That's what the world says. This man, the foolish man, his starting point was disobedience. His starting point was rebellion. But there was another starting point. And one started with rock, verse 25. And rock is hard to work with, isn't it? Anybody here ever taken big rocks and made them into little rocks? Maybe a little bit, maybe you tried. Anybody in here ever had an area of a slab, a driveway, a concrete area that you had to bust up? How easy was that? I'd rather have the sand, right? Rock is hard, isn't it? It takes time. It doesn't move around as easy as sand does. Yet it's stable. It lasts, doesn't it? See, this man's starting point was obedience to the word of God. The other man's starting point was disobedience. He heard the same words, yet he started in disobedience. The other man started in obedience. Warren Wiersbe says in his commentary, "The foundation in this parable is obedience to God's word. Obedience that is an evidence of true faith." He goes on to write, "We are to hear God's words and do them. We must not stop with only hearing or studying his words. Our hearing must result in doing. This is what it means to build on the rock foundation." They both heard. One obeyed, one disobeyed. So they each had a different character and they each had a different starting point, but they each had a different commitment. One heard and walked away. I would say very little commitment. Wouldn't you agree? It doesn't take much commitment for me to hear you out and then turn around and walk away from you. Very little commitment, right? But another one had a different commitment. One heard and obeyed. A totally different level of commitment. One saw value in the word of God and the other didn't. Let me just stop and pause there for a moment. Let me repeat that. One saw value in the word of God and the other didn't. How about me and you tonight? Do we see value in the word of God? Because if you don't, may I tell you which builder you are? May I tell you which man you are? See, this is one of the differences. One knew there was value in the word of God and the other didn't. One heard the word of God and obeyed. One heard the word of God and surrendered his life to Christ. One heard the word of God and walked away. See, obedience is a mark of the believer. Obedience is the key. It's not enough to hear. James says that we don't need to be hearers only, but we need to be what? Doers of the word of God. That's just not in our practical life, but that's also in the context of this passage here. Jesus is talking about those who hear the word of God and walk away and reject it completely. Oh, folks, obedience is the key. Hearing the word and doing it. That is the true, authentic validator of a disciple of Christ. Hearing and doing. Now, I don't see the Kellums here tonight. I don't think they'll mind me sharing. I see Miss King back there. You know, our very own Cameron is at Old School down at Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters doing a semester-long outdoor adventure semester. And he's had different things that he's had to do, and outside activities. I think he's doing rock climbing this week. I think they were out back in the mountains. I mean, remote areas in the mountains of North Carolina. And I won't share the whole story because I just want you to ask him when he comes back. But apparently, him and 11 or 13 others, however many that are with him, got certain instructions about what to do with food while you're out in the wilderness. Because what's out there with you in the wilderness? You got it, and it's not Yogi, okay? Bear. Right? And I think some of you know the story. If you're in the youth, you heard the story Wednesday night. Well, let's just say that Cameron was in the same crowd with the other students, getting the same instructions. Yeah, Cam didn't maybe heed all the instructions, I guess. And something happened. Now, he didn't get harmed, but I assure you he knows now to listen. So you just ask the Kellums. That's a little cliffhanger there. You just ask the Kellums what happened with Cam at Snowbird. All right? The reason I bring that up, it's important to hear, but it's important to act on the Word of God too. And that's whether you're hearing it for the very first time and the Spirit of God is saying to you, repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Or if you're hearing it for the thousandth time, hearing the Word of God is important. Obeying it is just as important as well. So up to this point, these men's lives, their houses resembled one another. You get the picture, right? Jesus gives the instructions here. They both go out. One builds his house on the rock, the right foundation, Christ and his word. The other one builds it on something that's not as hard to stomach, right? He builds it on the sand, right? And the houses on the outside look the same. Anybody ever seen that? You go to these communities and the houses all look the same on the outside, right? What's on the inside, though? Right? And these houses look the same, but let's look at the difference here. Let's look at what happens to them. So now we see the results of these two men. Number one withstood the storm. Look at verse 25 again. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded or built or grounded on the rock. The wise man who trusts Christ as his Savior and built his life upon Christ and his word, when the difficulties arose, he stood. When the judgment came at the last day, he stood forgiven at the cross. That's what our Christ is teaching us here. Not only in life, there's a principle here for our lives. Let's get this down tonight. There's a principle. If you will build your life on Christ and his word, you will live a better life. There's principles there. But I'm going to tell you, at the very core of this, Christ is teaching them, and he's teaching us, that those who build their lives on Christ, and what is that a picture of? Those who surrender to Christ, his lordship. When the storm of Christ's judgment comes, they'll be able to withstand it because they have been forgiven of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see the one who withstood the storm, but there's another, and the one who fell under the storm. See, the foolish man, the man who heard Christ's instructions, who heard Christ's call for salvation, who heard Christ speak of redemption and the forgiveness of sin. He turned and walked away and built his life his way. Right? Who's the singer that sang, I'll do it my way, or I've done it my way? Your house, let me put it another way, your life will not stand if you build it your way. It will fall. This man heard and walked away. See, Christ and his word is the difference. And submission to Christ and his word is the starting point. So I have to ask you tonight, as we've all have heard the word of God, will you submit to it? Will you be the foolish builder who heard the word and walks out the doors tonight and continues to build a life upon sand? Or will you be a wise builder who hears the word of God and acts upon it? Which one will you be tonight?